Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today's podcast was recorded in front of a live studio audience in the Edmund Burke Theatre in Trinity College, Dublin. Huge thanks to our partners on this episode, Huawei, who have recently launched the Huawei P Smart 2019. The P Smart 2019 has a 3400 milliamp battery, which provides all-day battery life for users, so you can use it as much as possible without worrying about it dying during the day. It has a 6.21-inch dewdrop display, as well as an unobtrusive and eye-catching pearl-shaped notch that holds the front camera. The 13-megapixel camera can produce unbelievable studio-quality photographs. It also has new AI scene recognition technology that can identify 22 categories and 500 scenarios in real time to make sure you get the perfect selfie. If that wasn't enough, the Huawei AI image stabilization works with the wide aperture lens to produce bright, detailed, low noise nighttime photos without the need for a tripod.
I love it when they send me out first. How are we doing? Welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast. I'm here with one functioning hand, but anyway, we'll get through this. So, we're going to get this show on the road. Will you please go wild and crazy for Johnny B and Johnny Smacks?
Hello!
Trinity College, huh? Some carry on. It's great to see you all studying. Anybody here actually going to Trinity? Yeah. The rest are just farmers from up the country. Fair play to you, lads. I thought it was meant to be just Trinity students.
Let's do this right, so. Here's one you all know. Sing along if you can.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're very welcome to a very special episode of the Two Johnnies podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Yeah, this is a special episode, as we said, and it's coming to you from the Edmund Burke Theatre in Trinity College, Dublin. Academics, politicians and poets have addressed packed audiences in this room, and now it's the turn of us two chancellors. On this week's podcast, we are going to discuss how we'd make changes to the CAO system, how we'd make the points race fair. Like, should you get extra points for playing County Minor? I think you should.
We're not sure if he's ever been to Trinity College before, but we've given him directions. If anyone sees an old man in a leather jacket, please send him this direction, because Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She produces and mammies us. Maureen is here with her mystery topic. She's out the back doing me hair there before we came in.
And ladies and gents, today's special guest for our interview is, of course, the big star on the internet. You might have known him from the Hardy Boxes Boys, but Owen Colligan will be here to chat with us. Woo! Come on.
Jabs. And as is tradition, we round off the podcast with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Keane in Mayo. Anyone here from Mayo? Really? In Trinity, by God. You don't go here, okay. Keane in Mayo got in touch with an embarrassing story. Well, lads, how's the crack? As mad GA men and me being from Mayo myself, a few college mates decided we would watch a replay of the 2016 All-Ireland Final between Mayo and Dublin. The drawn game, obviously. This is a break between lectures now. So about 50 minutes into the game, the laptop dies. And they said, lads, we'd pick it up from the same point later on. Later that evening, he went to the library to entertain some essential reading for his course. I plugged in the laptop, opened it up, and all that could be heard throughout the library was Ger Canning's excited commentary, "Killian O'Connor now about to take this free, while Jason Doherty being treated for a head injury on the halfway line inside in the library." So in a big panic, he couldn't remember his password. to unlock the screen. So the thing just kept playing and kept playing, and two fine ladies beside me became absolutely buckled over with laughter. Sure, what about it? Despite this hurdle, I remained in the library and completed two assignments in the process. Must have been the adrenaline or something. Hashtag no shame, hashtag Mayo for Sam.
Whoa. Kieran was in touch. He said, on the subject of Ireland losing its edge and, I suppose, friendliness, he has a great story about how good the older generation can be at sneering random strangers, or the president in this case. So there, last year, around the good weather, myself and the family went over to Salt Inn in Galway, and sure, we took the grandfather over. This lad would be a character and is very well known in his locality. Anyway, we were walking on the promenade, and I noticed Michael D. Higgins and his wife, Sabina, walking against us. I just said, that was gas, and kept walking. The grandfather would be slow on the feet, so he saw them last. Turn around, and he's there chatting with them. Honest to God, the first thing he said to his wife was that he's too short for you, and you're too good-looking. And you're too good looking for a man like him. Obviously, I was mortified and told him you can't say that to the president, but in fairness to Michael D, he was a good laugh and seemed really sound. Shook all our hands and asked what we were doing with ourselves. The grandfather kissed her cheek at the end. Again, they just laughed. Who needs Kim and Kanye when you have Michael D and Sabina?
Hey! Rob said, lads, I find it very easy to start conversations in public. I don't really do it with people my age because they're always on their phones. But the elderly generation are great crack. In a shopping queue or at the bank, even at the bus stop, if they seem really happy and it's easy to approach them. You'll hear some great stories from old people. A great example of this is at matches. I have met many great people at matches, including stars like Joe Brolly's neighbour in Croke Park on All-Ireland semi-final, or in Parnell Park in the first round of the league. The old people are great crack. Keep up the stuff and can't wait to see you lot in Bicker Street.
Graham was in touch. He said, talking of festivals and your gig at Sea Sessions, my brother and his gang had attended Oxygen 2008. Jesus, this isn't going to end well. They attended Oxygen 2008, where he lost his virginity to an older lady while wearing our dad's Wellington boots he had borrowed for the festival. Anyway, recently we had to bury our dog and require...
Where is the story going, like? And there was your one. Yeah.
She must have killed the dog, I'd say. Recently, we had to bury our dog and required a bit of digging. The old man had the notorious sex wellies on, and I had my boots on. I broke into laughter seeing my dad standing there in the oxygen sex wellies, as they've become known. No explanation could I give to the old man. I guess what goes on tour stays on tour. I'd say those wellies have been put in some sort of a museum now.
Yeah. Jeff said, just wanted to send a quick appreciation email. Oh, Mara, why do you put these in? Started listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, and I can safely say it's one of the best ways to stay connected to home. That's right. Do not Skype your parents. Just listen to this. I'm a freshman at the University of Notre Dame, but originally from Lismore, County Waterford. Wow. I've played hurling all my life and started a hurling club here on campus with some other Irish lads so I wouldn't lose the touch. The Americans love the game and teaching them has been a great experience. I know you talked about inclusion in GAA and about how joining a club at 27 is unheard of back home. It's great to see so many enthusiastic lads and lassies wanting to learn some hurling here in the States.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's from Jeff there from Waterford, who's in Notre Dame. Yeah, he obviously couldn't get into WIT, I'd say, was it? The entrance there, you just have to knock back a can of Galahad in under 2 minutes. So who gets the Noel's News mug, kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merchandise? That's a blatant plug there, lads. Okay. Rather than give away a mug, we'll give away a mug to somebody in the audience later on, I think, will we?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we've mugged there. So.
Yeah, well deserved. We'll give that to the best dressed farmer in the room. So this week's mug, who's it going to go to? To be honest, you can't look past...
Sorry, when you said best dressed farmer, the man in Finch's jersey and paddy cap, he just went, come on.
I didn't see you there with the light, lad. I should have... We have to probably give it to Graham, I'd say, and...
Sex wellies.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be a thing now. I'm going to be getting tagged and stuff all week, sex wellies. But...
Hashtag sex wellies.
Yeah, there you go. Two Johnny's exclusive. Now the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week? So we appeared in the Sunday World magazine on Sunday.
For all the right reasons.
Yeah. thankfully it wasn't on the front page with some scandal. It was actually in a glossy magazine. And they were just saying that the headline was... If the
people
podcast isn't
us.
Up by a certain time, people abuse us. So just a quick show of hands here in the theatre. Has anybody Snapchat or Instagrammed us abusing us if the podcast wasn't up on time? It's okay, you can own up to it now. Yeah, there you go, this fella back, yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking that, all right. Don't worry about it, lads, we're well used to it, and we'll have this up on time as well.
I noticed in the papers that country singer Jimmy Buckley is doing a holiday in Costa del Sol. You can do like a Costa del Country, or you go on holiday for a week with Jimmy Buckley. Now, you're not sharing a room with him, Ratton. It's just...
You're special prizes, you can rub sun cream on Jimmy Buckley's back.
He's there and he sings with like some other less...
evil people. Well,
yeah. I'm really thinking of going, to be honest.
It doesn't sound much like a holiday. That sounds more like a horror film, I'd say, over there. But look,
trapped on a desert island with country singers.
By the time people will be listening to this podcast, we'll have brought the Get Loose Tour to Castlebar and Vicar Street and Galway and Limerick.
Hey.
So, we're going well on the tour.
What'll be up next then? Wexford and Athlone.
Yeah, so that'll be great to get going. Now, a word from this week's podcast sponsor, Huawei.
This is what it's all about, lads, right? Did you know Huawei are the leader in smartphone photography?
Yes.
Yes, he knew it, bite. Finch's knew it, bite.
The AI dual camera is comprised of a 13-megapixel main camera and 2-megapixel secondary camera. That's the all-important selfie camera, lads. And combined, the camera system can produce studio-quality portraits.
Save us a fortune in the long run. This new phone has the Huawei AI image stabilization, so it works with the wide aperture lens to produce bright, detailed, low-noise nighttime photos without the need for a tripod. Basically, it takes class photos, lads, even at night, right?
And it's got a salvage battery in it. You could watch 18 hours of film without it going dead. Or you could even listen to 96 hours straight of Two Johnny's podcasts in one go. And your battery would not go dead. You might go insane, but your phone will be fine thanks to Huawei.
And they're not responsible for you going insane, lads, either. Right, topic number one. So in recent years, attempts have been made to make the CAO points system fair. A new grading system has been introduced. You get bonus points for certain subjects like honours maths that we definitely didn't do. There's the HPAT admissions test for those wanting to do medicine or health degrees. Not for us either, lads. Lads are just laughing, going, yeah, we know. But for the majority of people trying to get into college, it's still a point race. So how would the two Johnnies make it fairer? I mean, first of all, Johnny, what's your opinion on the current CAO system?
You get pints for knowing stuff, right? But, like, knowing stuff will only get you so far.
That...
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's people out there that know loads of stuff. And where are they?
That's spoken from a man who's never went to college, so...
I never went to college, but, like...
It's a strange one. It's got lots of flaws. For me, I don't think it works. You've got 2 days to decide what you want to do with the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, so you apply for a college course, and then the pints come out. And what have you got? 2 days?
Yeah, you've got 2 days. So, like, when I filled out the CAO application form, I had, like, 10 courses down that I was fully convinced I'd get.
Did you write down, like, centre half for Liverpool?
Yeah. I had, like, winger for Real Madrid as my second choice. Right below jam making. But I made lots of jam, in fairness. No, I think it's strange, because I filled out, like, 10 things on the CAO form.
Yeah.
And I got number 10.
So, did you?
Yeah. But, like, you should never play a county minor the year you're leaving cert. And as I used to say to my English teacher, it doesn't matter, sure, I play a county. And she said, you'll amount to nothing. And I said, hey, look at me now.
When we met her, that's exactly what he said.
I wasn't joking. I reckon she fancied me as well. I was fully convinced.
Do you want to name her while we're here now? You may as well name her, no?
Yeah, Miss Egan, if you're listening. I'm still interested. You know, I still think you're lovely. I know you're on a bit of a career break at the moment, so you've got a bit of spare time. And it's just, my number's still the same.
The CEO, right, points in the Leaving Cert is gas anyway, because it is pure regurgitation. Mm. Like, I don't know, did Anton I did in school stand to me? Apart from the school musical.
That was handy.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
you played Jesus, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
In
Greece. He thinks he's God.
In Greece, yeah.
You played Jesus and Fiddler on the Roof there. Yeah.
In Jesus Christ Superstar. It was good, yeah. My mate Gonzo got to be one of the guards. He was whipping me across the back. He was loving it. I remember going into the auditions and they were like, So, Gonzo, can you sing? Nope, but if you have any dancing parts, I'm your man.
Just back to the CEO system.
Go on, yeah.
For a sec.
Yes, go on.
Points get you the course, right? So, for an example, if you want to be an accountant and you get enough points, you can get into the course. That you don't actually have to do accountancy if you're leaving cert.
Yeah.
Sure, that doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I mean?
Do I mean?
Oh, I want to be an accountant. What did you get in maths? Oh, I got a D2 in ordinary level. Mm. But it's okay, you got the points.
Yeah, if you got an A in geography.
I mean, that's why all these lads are getting done for tax and stuff.
Yeah. Like, they were too busy studying about rivers and, you know, oxbow lakes and all that.
Yeah.
Making life-size models of roofs, like in construction. Yeah.
I'll tell you all about Padraig Pearce and the volunteers.
Yeah.
You know?
And they can't do a simple tax return. So if our accountant is listening, no, I'm only messing.
Like, in some places now, there's bonus points for extracurricular activities, like, you know, sports and that.
Yeah. So, like, I'd have got into medicine if that was the case.
How many points should playing County Minor be worth?
It shouldn't even matter. If you play a County Minor, you should just go straight to college. Any college course. I should be over in Royal College of Surgeons there or something like that. Opening lads up, just going... Low ball in now, boys. This man needs a lung transplant. Does he? All right, yeah. I'll be back there in a few minutes. I have to go training. I mean, the big thing with the CAO system is, I don't know if most people in here feel the same, but for me, I kind of think nobody researches their course. Show of hands here. Who actually researched the course? Now, properly, in-depth, researched their course when they were applying?
It's about eight people.
Yeah. It's 300 and something people here. Eight people researched it. Like, for me, it just sounded great. Like, I took up a course doing legal studies. I just thought, I'll know how to get away with shit then. Turned out there was an awful lot of learning in it. And
you'd been debating with your ma all your life.
Yeah, you see, my mother, like, her approach was like, oh, do legal studies, and I can tell everyone around the town you're a great man doing that in college, rather than going doing, like, sport and recreation and cleaning treadmills in 4 years' time. Like, so it was tough. It's hard to know. I think that's the problem with the CEO system. It doesn't give enough information on courses. You know, take open days, for example. You go to college to an open day and, like, they're bringing you around and then they're like, oh, come into the science lab. Some fella's blowing shit up. And you're like, oh, that's class.
Oh, you want to blow stuff up.
Yeah, I want to be a scientist. And then you go in and it's like all books. You know,
I know, I did the same. I just really liked reading the newspaper when I was 18. I was like, just I'll do journalism, so that was it. You know? No, like, no idea about, like, what it actually involves and, you know, it's...
Yeah. I like eating Häagen-Dazs tomorrow. I didn't want to be a chef, dog.
I remember our guidance counsellor telling us the year that CSI came on the telly, like half a sixth year put down like forensic science under CAO.
Yeah, they all just wanted to be with the hot one in CSI.
I want to be a profiler, just walking around going, it was him. No, but it's just all books, that's not it. Because I did my summer jobs like working on building sites and I saw, you know, construction management and engineers and all that. And then I seen my mates who were like, oh yeah, I like drawing, I'll be an engineer. And I was like, no...
No, it's
middle management is the worst place to be, but they had no clue.
Yeah.
They'd never been on a building site.
That's true. So
Townies.
I think we have to get a system that whereby like people get a course that they want, like, you know.
Yeah, if you want to be whatever. What are you studying there, 11 degrees man?
I'd say we'll probably edit that out.
We'll probably, yeah.
But a lot of people
So anyway, Owen Colligan, right? No, what I mean is that people are like, I'll do a course. I want to be whatever, an architect. But I would be like, right, maybe years ago when you're in TUI or something, you should shadow an architect for a month and see what he actually does. See what your life is going to actually look like.
Rather than just saying you want a lot of money for being an architect, like Dermot Bannon, but he's rich as well. Like, that's probably what people are thinking. Look at him. Look at all the money he has. I want to be like that. It doesn't work like that. Other countries' examples of CAO, I think, is much, much better. The Americans, now in fairness, I wouldn't take much from them in that, like, your fourth year of college, like, you're doing your final exam, you're still ticking boxes. But, I mean, in America, it's essays and interviews, and it's kind of selling yourself, telling people how great you are.
You'd be great at that, Ed, yeah. No, do you know
what? I'd be president of America if I was over there.
So when you go to college in America, a lot of them, you have to do a pre-interview. Do you have to do that for Trinity?
No, you don't know.
No?
No.
No, it's just need points.
To be, just need to be rich. I'm joking. We'll edit that out as well, don't worry.
I like the idea of the pre-interview. You know, so what did you get up to for the summer? Yeah, you know, I was mixing cement for Jimmy Tobin on a building site.
I think though, seriously, an interview system would work well in that that's preparing you for life. You're going to have to sell yourself at some point. You know what I mean? Like, I got a job in Iceland. Not the country, no, just the supermarket chain. But like, I got it and I had your man convinced like I was going to change this whole shop. And I was only in there for 4 weeks to get the money together for Santa Ponsa, so... I didn't change much, like, you know.
You didn't change your shirt, and then you changed the job. Like,
that's true, but that's the thing. If you can sell yourself in an interview, it will work better. Mm. And also in America, they have that constant testing. So, like, you know.
Continual assessment.
Constant testing is probably. There's a reason I'm not here studying in Trinity.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill Cullen, the businessman, his motto is that everyone is in sales.
Yeah.
If you walk into a place, the first person you meet gives a. Like, the first person we met when we came into Trinity was super friendly, and we were like, oh, we wish we went here.
Yeah. No, we're only messing. We had to ask, like, 20 people where this place was. Everyone was just taking photos. Does anybody study here at all, lads? Just going around taking selfies themselves. But how could we improve this CEO system? What changes would we make to it?
More specific, I think if you want to do... Like, a mate of mine failed past Leaving Cert Maths, and then you repeated as leaving, and I was like, what are you trying to do? And he's like, engineering. And I said, you know, you're probably going to want to be right good at maths to be doing engineering. This mightn't suit you, lad. You know,
yeah, it's a hundred, like,
you should maybe become a fisherman or something.
Yeah, I had a friend, I think he drank more pints than he got in his leaving cert as well. So you want to be wary of that kind of stuff.
But you know, like, the points to do PE teaching are wicked high. Because every lad who can kick football is like, maybe I'll be a PE teacher. Mr. Burns, is it really easy? Look at him.
Yeah.
But the point's then, you have to be like, book smart.
Yeah, you do.
Book smart is the opposite to PE teacher smart.
Yeah, PE teacher just throws in the ball and says, now pick teams.
Yeah.
Four and a half years in college for that.
Yeah, you could do that, man.
Yeah, I might give up this crack. I'd say I'll go back and be a teacher. But I think changes as regards CEO in college, they should make first year in college, like, you know, more similar to school. You know, like, first year in school, when you start secondary school, it's like a taster year.
Yeah.
You try every subject.
Mm. Yeah.
You should have that in college as well, like, because most lads are going to go in and be like, I want to be a psychologist, and then they hate it. And then, but you should have a cooling off period.
Yeah, I think an arts degree is kind of like that, though, isn't it?
An arts degree is just for people who just want to have the crack. They haven't a clue what they want to do.
Yeah, they're just happy.
It's kind of like a halfway house. I want to get out of mother's spare room, you know, and I want to go out and have a few pints and...
Yeah.
Maybe get a woman, like, but I don't. As career-wise, no, I'm okay. Like, I'm all right for that for a few years.
No, an arts degree just qualifies you to wear an iron jumper, like.
Yeah. Have long hair and stuff. Yeah, be a cool dude.
Definitely. But when you go to college in America, I have a cousin Sean. He's over in California, and he says the first year in college in America, you actually have 8 subjects in college. That's like school.
Yeah.
And you drop it down.
The good thing about in America as well, when you go to college, like, you can actually pick your subjects as well, whereas in Ireland it's like, here's your course syllabus and here's what you have to learn. So like I did a semester abroad in America, and for the crack I did one of the subjects I picked was Arabic. I was like, learned how to write Arabic. Yeah, and it's really cool. You learned how to write, because it was easier, because you write it from left to right, so it's easier for me because I'm left-handed. Now I've completely forgotten it all, but
that's very handy. Like, you'd have no ink then on your whole way.
You could be given tattoos down on the beach in Santa Ponsa. Yeah. All them lads, you know.
I had to pay a lot of money to get one of them removed. You know, you don't want to go down that road. But I do. I think a cooling off period. You see, the problem is, for a lot of Irish people, me included, when I went to college, I picked the subject out of pure panic. I didn't want to repeat the Leaving Cert. I was like, bang, that's what I'm after getting offered. I'll go with it.
Yeah.
And then after around half an hour in there, I was fully convinced. They were just like, had a presentation thing up, and they were going through what you do in the 4 years. And by the time they got to, like, after Christmas, I was like, wow, this isn't for me. And I knew in that moment it wasn't for me. Now, I carried on for a year, of course I did. It's good crack down there, in fairness. But you should be allowed to, like, change at that moment. Or, like, you know, 4 weeks into it, you're like, right, this isn't for me. I'm going to go and do sport and rec now. Like, I was in Waterford, so I should have been afforded the opportunity to pick a different course in that college.
Wait, did you get the points for Sport and Rec?
Yeah, but I just didn't choose it.
Why?
I thought I'd get a job out of legal studies. I thought it was going to be like Jim Carrey and Liar Liar.
Jesus.
What were your choices 1 to 9 on the CAO?
They're all teaching.
All teaching?
Yeah, in every college in Ireland. And I missed out on the one in Galway, I think, by like 15 points. And then they were like, oh, you can recheck your exam results. I was like, wait, that's €150. So, I don't think I really wanted to be a teacher. I'm not too sure.
You're still going on about it.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to be like a life coach. Just like Bowel Jung lads. You know, I'd take them outside and be like, look, you don't want to be throwing chairs at teachers and stuff. That's not right, Peter. You know what I mean?
Get that crayon out of your mouth, will you? Come on.
Yeah. You're 18, Peter. Stop eating the crayons.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of more what I wanted to be than that. But I think
that's what you're doing here.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Guiding the young people of Ireland. And also, Les, you should never take our advice, ever.
Yeah, podcast disclaimer.
Yeah,
don't.
A disclaimer. Don't take our advice. But extracurricular stuff, that should be rewarded. Like, if you have all your badges in the scouts, that's more handy than algebra. Class of time knots and stuff. That will help you in life. You know, has anybody here done the President's Award, which is something that you can do in secondary school here? You go off and, like, volunteer. Yeah, I've done it, like, but, you know, it's worthless, like. You get a little tiny medal at the end of it, but if that was worth 70 points in the Leaving Cert, there you go, more people would do it. And I think something like that. Is the Duke of Edinburgh worth that over in the UK, no?
It would be, yeah, because in the UK system, the UCAS system, you submit like a big form with your qualifications, a personal statement, which is like an essay about why you should take me on, your employment history, and a reference from somebody. So like if you wanted to be a vet, I did apply to do veterinary and I didn't get it, but, you know, I have to say I'm devastated not being, you know, putting my hands up cows' arses the whole time, you know. But anyway, yeah.
Easier work with cows than us, I'd say.
No.
the essay about why you should be accepted is like that episode of Father Ted where I should get the airplane parachute because I'm great.
Yeah, I think I wrote in my one about why I should be a vet is about this one time I rescued a hedgehog from the side of the road and it died anyway. So like, it's just the worst when you think back about it. I also got a reference from a vet as well who said she's not bad, you know, give her a go. So
well, I had to do an interview actually. This just reminds me, I applied for the Ballyformit music, the rock school thing. And you come up and you actually sing and you give them a bit of a, well, I'm in a cover band and we play down the Stop In on Friday nights for £100 cash, you know. You actually have to give a pre-interview and explain to them what you're doing with your life.
Hey, don't declare you got cash. It's accountants listening to this.
But that was, I didn't get in, obviously. But
yeah, but I think that's another fair point there, that if you want to do a music course or you want to do a drama course, you audition for it, you know.
Yeah, like what good is 600 points to you and you want to be an actor and you can't act, like you're, you know, as wooden as this, so.
Yeah. So it's working well for a few of them out there now, in fairness, at the moment. That's the CAO system. That's our thoughts on it. I think we'd like to see it improved. I think the points race is wrong in that, I don't know, it made me feel like crap anyway, because, you know, the one thing Irish people say is, how many points did you get?
Yeah.
It defines your whole life. Like, they're like, even now people go to me, how many points do you get in your Leaving Cert? I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, come on.
I've got a really nice car. So no, that's
what, really? When's the last time somebody asked you the points you got?
I think somebody asked me in an interview how many points I got in my Leaving Cert.
I don't know. There's a lot of different types of smarts, you know?
Yeah, like I'm street smart, like. you want to see the Ross Gray elbow in operation? They don't teach you that in college.
I don't know. Do you know, if you go to school in Germany, you get separated after junior cert into like technical school. Yeah. And
they would have just put me in a scrap heap after third year, I'd say.
No, Germany makes a lot of stuff. Like, you know, power tools and microphones and all that jazz is made in Germany. They're a class at making stuff because at like 15, you get put into a technical school so that you know how to use machinery and all.
Yeah, Germans have a really good idea when it comes to apprenticeships. They actually value apprenticeships the same they do as college degrees. So, you know, Germans, smart boys.
So lads, maybe you should all rethink your lives and
basically drop out of college, start making videos online. It's that easy. Look, yeah, that's the CEO system. I think we'll wrap on that one. I reckon the education system in Ireland will be onto us now after that.
I think so. we will be putting a submission into the Department of Education. We might just, like, you know, send this recording and say, like, here, the Minister for Education, just, this is what you need to do.
Excuse me for a minute there.
What's the Minister for Education is...
I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, me too.
I should know his name. So.
You should have probably researched that one, I'd say.
Yes. Slaps in the wrist for me.
Yeah.
But just what you're saying there about last time, did somebody ask you your points? The thing I really remember when I was getting my points reset, when I added them all up, this guy who was in the boys' school, he was full sure he was going to get 600 points, and he didn't. And he told me what he got, and I was like, oh, I got the same. And he was even more devastated then. Yeah. He was like, I did bad, but I got the same as you, Jesus. I was like...
It can happen. Like, when I went down to collect my results, I told my mother, keep the car running. Because if this goes bad, I'm in the back of it, and I don't want anyone to ask me how many pints I got. But I actually didn't do too bad in leaving, so, you know, I told her just to give me 50 euro and get going. The principal was like, what are you going to do now? And I was like, I'm going to the pub. he was like, no, I meant, like, with your life. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, still, we move on. CAO system, by yeah? You're all, it's working, obviously, for somebody. There's some students here. Even your man in transition here, right? All right. This man didn't go to university. Instead, he went to the College of Life. Milking cows, drawing silage, and breaking lads up on the hurling field. He's here, lads. It's Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News. Woo! No bother, Noel.
How you know?
I'm a young fella.
Well, Noel, it's good to have you here in Trinity College. Did you found your way up all right? Did you get the train or?
No.
You drove?
I got a lift.
Off who?
A man in a hearse. he tried to pull in and turn left, and I said, stay going.
He was trying to go to Thurles.
Yeah, a load of cars behind him. So, got here anyway. I have to say, Trinity, a bit disappointing.
Why?
Do you know this place was founded in 1592?
Wow.
And you can tell, it's fucking wrecked. Starting to get a bit run down. Shoddy workmanship back in the boom of 1592. There was a boom. There was a building boom. Now, you think I'm making things up?
Wow.
One of many facts you would hear during my news. Look, I'm going to get to the news, if that's okay. Today, I'm whisking you away to Algeria. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay? Now, Algeria is funny because one half is kind of Mediterranean and beautiful, and the other half is just desert, wasteland. So it's like Turles. Okay? Now, in Algeria, the women do a lot of the big money jobs. Okay? Women make up a lot of the lawyers and the judges and the doctors. And, you know, a lot of the lads are too busy to pray and smoking fags. I don't know what they'd be doing. But actually, smoking fags and praying, I think that's the name of the new album by Hozier. Smoking fags and praying, yeah, it's a good one. In Algeria, the students have gotten up off their arse and started protesting. And they're protesting about the president. He's saying he wants to be re-elected. Now, I'd say the only thing the Dublin students protest about is when is Ryan's and Cannon Street going to reopen? Huh? Ryan's Power, it's a haven for country students. Up in the big smoke. It's kind of a good mix of silage and riding. Which is actually the name of a new single from the Coronas, I think. Silage and riding, yeah. It sounds like they got my letter. Now, the president of Algeria, he came to power 20 years ago. And I like that expression, came to power. There's no mention of an election or how he got in. But anyway, and this man is 82 years old, and he wants to be re-elected despite not having been seen in public since he had a stroke 6 years ago. That's a fact. That is a fact. That's like the Mickey now, if you ask me. Like, if you can't do the job, you shouldn't get the job.
That's true.
Okay? It's like the time I got Parik a job as a chef in a Chinese restaurant. My son Parik, youngest lad, he was only a teenager at the time. And apparently, pandi is not an Asian delicacy. But that was all he knew how to make. It's just milky spuds. And they were pure takeover. They were pure takeover. They said there was... Noel, they rang me. I said, Noel, you told us he was a cook. I said, no, I told you he was shook. Man, I've been out drinking all week. He was after making his communion. The two of us at the right session. So... So, heavy week, I'll tell you that now. But this, the presidency of Algeria, of course, be on top of your list. One of the other people putting their name forward for the presidency is the businessman Rachid Nakaz, who has a big following on Facebook and is very popular with young people. Well, I don't think that counts for much. I mean, do you know who else is popular with young people? Post Malone. Right, I've been reading about this lad, right? He has a tattoo on his face saying, always tired. Right? He want to come foot and turf with me for the end of bog. See how shagging tired he gets then. Huh? I suppose you want him to be president too. But the man who is the current president, the man 82 years of age, is Abdelaziz Bouteflika.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah. He's cousin of Busty Bouteflika, who, of course, was voted Carlo's sexiest man 14 years running. And he's going again this year. He'd be a hard bet now, Busty. I'll tell you that. He'd be a hard bet in Carlo now. And President Bouteflika won the election in 2014 without any campaigning. He didn't campaign at all. I can relate to that. When I wanted to get Dermot as juvenile chairman at a club, Dermot didn't do any campaigning. Now, I might have dropped in through a few people's skylight windows into their bedrooms onto a few sleeping committee members for a chat. But Dermot didn't do any canvassing. And the police have been breaking up the students' protests using water cannons. And they went away. But I think if you put a water cannon on Irish students, they just strip off and start singing Olé Olé. So we're going to watch the Algerian presidential race closely to see how that pans out. And I have another bit of news for you here now, yes? Next up, sunny beaches, snowy mountains, boutique coffee shops, and a little bit of gangland crime. It sounds like an episode of Nationwide. But no, it's the U.S. state of Oregon. Oregon, yeah?
Oregon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oregon. And with the state may get its name from the herb oregano.
Oregano.
Oregano. It may get its name from that. It may not. I just thought I'd put that in. Now, there was a man, a male man, and...
Shocker.
Yeah, he was in his house, he was in his home in Oregon, and he went to the shop to buy gas. And I didn't know you could buy gas. I thought you just were gas or you weren't. But I said, the Americans have everything. So, one thing the Americans don't have, I think, is as much class as the Irish people.
Really?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Irish people are classy. Not current crowd of Latchkos you have here, of course. This fella in the front row looks like he'd kill you with a spud. Well, other than that, and there's a man from Offaly up the back tried to accost me on the way in. But this man, he was driving in his big car, big jeepy kind of a car, yoke, car jeep, I don't know. But the snow was wicked bad. And he got stuck in the snow. And he slept in the back of the car overnight. And are you okay, child?
Yeah, sorry. One of the spud.
One of my better ones. Hands up now, who's ever slept in the back of a car?
About half the audience.
The other half are lying. Well, I'll tell you, it's not pretty. The last time I slept in the back of the car was the Pope's visit. Excuse me, young lady. Excuse me. I'll be done now in 2 minutes. Well, that's the height of rudeness. You think she'd hold it? Sleeping in the back of the car. Okay, we've all done it. But I used to do it a lot now back when I was a pup, when I was a buck. But I haven't done it now since the Pope's visit.
Why did you do it then?
Well, I didn't go to see the Pope now, but all the wives went. So we had a right session. 4 days in, I mean, talk about a session. I woke up on the pool table at the granary and Richie Kavanagh was saying Rovina over me. I said, oh, lads. You know the singer Richie Kavanagh? Yeah. Okay, what are they teaching in school? But he's a great man in the session. Oh, powerful man. Like, ever since he left the Taliban, he's a new man. It was the best move he ever made. I'll tell you that now. He's a great crack, Richie Kavanagh. So, anyway, this man was trapped in the back of his car, but he had a dog with him. He had a dog with him, and they tried to walk somewhere, anywhere, shop, home, whatever. But the snow was too bad. And neither him nor the dog had the mobile phone with them. Actually, did I tell you I got a mobile phone?
Did you? Finally.
Yeah. Now, the nice lads in Wellway gave me a mobile phone.
Did they?
And I'll tell you one thing, it's very handy. Yeah, it never leaves the kitchen. I have a spot for it there in the kitchen, and it's ideal. He's always there if I want it.
You know the idea is to carry them.
So, like, we have a little spot. So Carmen will have this little tin for biscuits. It's in the shape of a dog wearing a hat, just gas, and I could love it, right? And I sit the phone beside the dog with the hat. And then if ever I want it, I know where it is. And then if ever I get stuck, the mobile phone is there in the kitchen. Now...
You know you're meant to carry that around, like, it's...
Well, sure, like, if that was to happen me down the farm, I'd probably get one of the lads to bring me down the farm.
How would you call them?
Hi! Come down! Come down! So...
Okay, whatever works for you.
Yeah. So, anyway, this lad and the dog, they were trapped in the car for 5 days... That's a fact. 5 days in Oregon in the car. And all they had to eat was 3 packets of taco sauce. Right? Taco from that, there's a shop out there called Taco Bell. Right?
Okay.
And that's all he was eating. And when the police found him 5 days later, they said both him and the dog were fine. They said they were in good health, but they were hungry. And also, they were now gay lovers. So it says here, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but that's, that's what I have on the page in front of me. So did I tell you, actually, it must be about 10 or 11 years ago now, there was a boy in our parish, a young boy, and he got trapped in the storeroom of Country Markets. Now, they have, you know, the country markets, they don't have meat down the hall every Friday, and they sell a few vegetables or a few bits of
buns and stuff.
Buns, yeah, man. And this young lad, he got caught in the back room, in the storeroom, and so there was nobody coming around until the following week. So for a full week, he survived only on Peggy O'Brien's tart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eventually, He escaped by fashioning a screwdriver out of one of Tom Hickey's carrots. And he carved a hole in the stone wall.
With a carrot?
Yeah, a 2-foot stone wall. He hacked his way out. That's a fact.
It's incredibly hard to believe.
Well, it's a fact. And that young boy grew up to be Barack Obama. That's a fact. That is a fact.
Not a fact.
Great man. Great man. And he always writes to Peggy O'Brien every Patrick's Day now. Yeah. I always liked him. I knew his brother Billy.
Billy Obama.
Yeah. He was a painter. In town, Billy Obama, yeah. He was very good too.
Was he?
Yeah, now he was completely colourblind. But he was some man on the roller, so... Like, they were all worried about this lad. 5 days. And he didn't come home for 5 days. Like, I do that most weekends. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm always in work Monday morning.
You are?
No, fresh out. Quick maths. Yeah, 5 days. And I'm back for Monday morning.
Brilliant.
Now, lads, while I have you, I just want to give you a little quick quiz.
Yes.
On Dublin.
Okay.
Okay, seems we're in Dublin. Sure, look, I'll start with Dubai. No, or Maureen. We'll start with Maureen. Okay. Hang on. It's all the one.
Cheers, no.
But, no, I mean, this is equality. Do you know? Which of these is a TD for Dublin? Is it A, Mary Lou McDonald? B, Lou Reed? C, Dickie Rock? Or D, Fudge, who collects the glasses and rhymes? No, them boys appreciate Fudge. So,
I'm going to take
your time. Take your time.
Take a stab in the dark here, Noel, and go with A.
Mary Lou McDonald. Well done, Maureen. That is correct.
Fudge is going to be delighted with that.
Yeah, no. Fudge is only a counsellor. So, Johnny Stacks.
Smacks.
The song in Dublin's Fair City, it states, she wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, but the song and statue are of which famous fishmonger? Is it A, Maura Duran? B, the haunty one in Fair City? C, Robbie Keane's wife? Or D, Molly Malone?
It's Molly Malone.
It's not Molly Malone. No. It is Molly Malone. I didn't think you'd get that one now. Okay, Maureen. Which of, you know, you can play this game in your own heads. Don't open your mouth. But
what do you want in Fair City?
I can't remember now. Which of these Dublin sites was a heated battle during the 1916 Rising? Was it A, the Brazilian invasion of Dicey's? Heard that one, huh? Was it B, the hipster invasion of Ranelagh? C, was it an English stag party in Temple Bar? Or was it D, an English gunship shelling the GPO?
D, Noel, I think.
Maura gets the D. Correct. Johnny Stack. Dublin has been the base of power for many people. But which group invaded Dublin in the 9th century? Was it A, the Vikings, B, the student nurses, was it C, Romanian women selling roses, or D, them lads who try sign you up to charities? Your own time.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. No.
It was the Vikings. Well done.
Thanks.
Okay, Maureen, we are here in the Edmund Burke Theatre. And Eddie Burke famously said, "The only necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." But who famously said, "Noel, that'll never fit in there." Was it Noel, that'll never fit in there. Was it A? Was it A? Was it? Was it Vera Casey, the first time we made love? Was it the young woman in the deli after I asked her to put an apple in my sandwich? Or was it C, my neighbour who now has no wing mirrors on his Mercedes? Maureen.
Oh, God. Is it Vera Casey?
Unfortunately, it wasn't Vera Casey. She had no butter. It was, of course, my neighbour. Well, who now has no mirrors on his Mercedes. You see, my van was out of action at the time, laid up, and I was moving timber out of the shed, and I didn't want to get wet. So I kind of backed in. I was kind of reversing by sound, you know. And but did you guess about the apple in the sandwich? Do you ever have that?
No, I never. Wouldn't be.
A lot of old people used to say an apple sandwich is good for the blood.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Well, that, a lot of people used to say that. And I knew a man who had an apple sandwich every day for 40 years. Yeah. He got polio. But actually, people are now disputing that quote. Did Edmund Burke actually ever say that?
Really?
Yeah. Like, later we'll be disputing, did I actually say that about Robbie Keane's wife? I don't think I did. So I don't think you heard that at all. One last question. So, you got that one wrong. Very disappointed. Mine. Edmund Burke's mother.
Oh, God.
No, it's okay. Edmund Burke, who this theatre is named after, his mother was a cousin of Nano Nagel. She started the Presentation Sisters, who educated a lot of young ladies, and she was voted Irish Woman of the Millennium. But a similar honour locally, can you tell me who was voted Woman of the Parish last year? Was it A, Peggy O'Brien, for her contribution to Tart? Was it B, Mrs. Lonergan, for washing the jerseys? Was it C, Margaret in the Shamrock, for her general chat? Or was it D, Mags De La Hunty, who wrestled the bear? That's a tough one now, in fairness.
I'd probably go with Mrs. Lonergan.
It was Mrs. Lonergan. Oh!
They're actually all real people.
But just, I had a bonus question in case it was a tie, so I'm going to say it anyway. For the bonus point, to really hammer things home, can you tell me, why was Maggie Delahunty wrestling a bear?
I don't know. Did one get loose out the Priest Road? Or?
No, there hasn't been a bear on the Priest Road in years. It was actually, she's part of the local meet and train fitness group. And that was just the next challenge after the 5K. Wrestling a bear.
Brilliant stuff. Noel, is that it for your news this week?
That's it, yeah. You have that lovely horse is coming back to get me now.
Okay, mind you. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Noel Furlong. Just to the people of Huawei. Thanks. For putting your faith in a madman. All right, Maura, your mystery topic. You didn't get the points for Trinity, and you're not one bit bitter about it.
No.
Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Right. So I kind of did something that I'm not very proud of, and I need to get your opinion on it.
Whoa.
Not
you
there.
And it isn't accidentally liking, you know, a fella's photos of his ex, you know. So that, didn't
not,
do that again.
It's not
anyway.
That bad.
No. I basically yesterday, okay, right, so I'm one hand at the minute. Basically yesterday, I can't cook at the minute. So I went to the shop, got a lovely portion of lasagna, a lovely croquette. It's like, this is going to be delicious now, a lovely Sunday dinner. Put it on the plate, got it out on the plate, put the microwave lid cover over, opened the microwave, went to put it into the microwave, and it slipped and went on the floor and splashed. Smashed plate, lasagna. And I was like, I'm going to have a little bit of a cry. And then I was like, get the fish slice and scoop it up off the floor and put it back in a plate and put it into the microwave. Yeah. I'm wondering, would you eat food off the floor? So
I bet I would babble on before.
Can I just say, right, I didn't scoop it directly off the floor. Like, you know the way lasagna is layered? I got it, like, I put it into, like, 2/3 of layers down and then got that. So there was, like, you know, still a bit left on the floor.
Okay.
I'm just wondering. yeah, I was really hungry and I would have had to drive back out to Ardee to buy another lasagna, so...
My...
Now, there, I have, you know, the theory of the 5-second rule.
Yes.
It's like, if food lands on the floor.
No, we're familiar with the concept. Yeah, it's just...
You know, it doesn't become poisonous. It, you know, 5 seconds isn't enough time for actual harmful bacteria to transfer to the food.
You haven't seen the floor in Johnny B's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was the floor... It was the floor in my house, and it was reasonably clean. So, yeah.
You're asking us, is it acceptable?
Yeah. Well, do you want the science behind the 5 seconds?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean...
You're just going to judge me straight away.
He's already made his mind up, I can tell.
Yeah, look, we're talking to students here. Hmm. These lads have drank off the floor. With a straw. Like, oh no, I spilled a bit of an agon. Like... So I think you're preaching to the choir here, Mara.
My question to you, Mara, is you said the plate broke.
Yeah.
My concern would be eating bits of plate.
There was a little bit of plate.
Vitamin porcelain.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, because, and thank God it was plate, because I thought I cracked a tooth for a second, so.
It's hard to not judge...
The woman has in one hand, Johnny.
Yeah, no. In your defence, I would have done the same.
Would you? Because I really thought you wouldn't eat off the floor.
More, I've ate from Babylon on a night out in Dublin. I'd most definitely eat from the floor. If it was like an old shit ham sandwich and I could make another one, I'd probably make another one.
Yeah. Mm.
But if I'd went down my way now to buy a big lump of lasagna, like, yeah, I'd eat it. I had a friend... And I won't name him. We play football with him. It was the same fella who wore that yarn jumper, if you're listening a couple of podcasts back, to one of the trainings.
The Kraken,
yeah. Well, that's what we call him. And we were outside Clonmel one night, waiting for a taxi. Mm. And you wait by the cop shop in Clonmel. Because if you wait anywhere else, you get killed. The cop shop gives you a bit of security. But, like, that's where most of us would wait to get the taxi back to Care. And Eddie was there. Oh.
The Kraken was there.
Yeah, he was there. And we were sitting there. He was well on, in fairness to Eddie, you know. And he was sitting on the ground. And then he went, oh, class, someone left a bag of chips behind. And he started eating out a bag of chips that he found, right? Now, that's bad. What's worse was he was like, oh, class, curry dip. Dipping his chips into curry dip. And he, ah, lads, if I wasn't going to get sick from the copious amounts of Sambuca that was in the system, I tell you, Eddie eating the curry chips off the ground now. But I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, your own kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's your own bacteria. So that's all right, is it?
And the dog.
Yeah.
Your dog is quite low to the ground.
Yeah. I tell you.
No.
His special bits are definitely have traipsed that floor, I would imagine. Oh, God. He's a little sausage dog, isn't he? Like, he's...
Yeah, his legs are about 4 inches long. Yeah,
he's so. Teabagged your lasagna.
His spare wheel is dragging along the ground, yeah.
Would I eat off the floor, Mara? Yeah. 5 second rule, I have done before. Would I scrape a lasagna off a floor which has had a sausage dog's genitalia?
Yeah,
previously, probably not.
You didn't get the top layer. What's the layer? Like cheese, is it, or something?
Yeah, no, like, so it's like, there's a layer of mince, there's a layer of pasta, another layer of mince, then layer of cheese. So I went in under the mid layer of pasta.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, it's acceptable. So what about the croquette?
I scraped the breadcrumbs off the bottom.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know you're taking precautions anymore. And you almost ate a lump of plate. Yeah.
Can we take a vote?
Show of hands, yeah.
So in Maura's specific situation, who would have eaten the food?
Oh, I feel so much better.
Well, yeah, that's pretty
thank
good.
You.
60-70%?
Yeah. And anyone else has never had a part-time job in college. I can tell you that. Yeah, actually, I worked in a few places.
Don't mention any places.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what you get served, lads. We'll leave it on that one. All right, and don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast and use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to spread the good word of the gospel, according to myself, Johnny B, and Maureen. Now, special guest time. You all want to meet our special guest?
Hey.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it is, of course, stand-up star and former Hardy Book, the one and only. Please give it up for Owen Colgan.
Woo! Hey, look.
Hello.
Oh, what an entrance.
Nice bit of chat.
Nice bit of chat, yeah. We couldn't wait to have you on. We've been threatening to get you on for ages.
I drank about 5 bottles of water backstage.
Yeah. You're going to have to go to Titan now, like the girl there. So.
I'm going now, don't worry.
She made a very rude entrance, or exit.
What happened?
She got up and she was just sick of listening to us, I said. So she just had enough. But what's the crack? It's good to have you on.
Thanks for having us, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unreal.
So if there is anyone who doesn't know yet, they should. You're a big man on Instagram.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Doing the Instagram stories.
Thought that was going to get a cheer, but didn't. No.
Give the man a cheer.
It's too late now. It's too late. It's a sympathy cheer, you know. I don't want that. No, thanks.
Yeah, so you're flat out on Instagram now, but you started all those years ago on the YouTube.
Yeah. Started off on YouTube with the Hardy Books.
You were nearly the pioneers. Like, was there anyone in Ireland?
We were the first ever.
We invented
you
content.
You were.
I'm sure there's loads as well, but maybe one of the first in Ireland, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
And how did it start? You started making videos?
Well, Eddie Durkin and the Viper, they're two characters from the show. They went to Ballyfermot School, and they had to do, like, a project for the weekend.
Yeah.
So they came down to Mayo, and they said, do you want to... I was in Galway at the time, working in a deli. Selling chicken rolls.
No way.
Yeah, very good chicken rolls too. Very nice. €3 chicken roll, I think, I believe it was.
That's good value.
Very good value, yeah, yeah.
That is good
value. That was pre-boom as well. Yeah. And then they just said, come down to Mayo to do a bit of filming. So we started shooting little vignettes. And I like that nice word there, no?
For yeah, I tell you, you know you're in Trinity now, you're using M-words.
Ah, that's Galway, lad. Yeah.
The big thing is, like, how much of that was unscripted? How much of it was just you having the crack?
Oh, 100% was unscripted. But it was It was an awful lot of, there was like a lot of crap there as well, you know?
Yeah, who was the poor bastard editing it?
The Viper. Yeah. So he had to edit the whole thing. So so probably like 20% was good, and then 80% was just like pure dribble.
So like, what would they say to you? Like, just stand there in front of the camera and be yourself, or?
They just said like, play whatever character you want. So I had a character from my school. I won't give his name here, but Mike Farrelly. And he's not here anyways, doesn't matter. So
he's not in Trinity, yeah.
No.
Buzz was based on him.
Buzz was based on him, yeah. The name Buzz came from Eddie Durkin doing a prank phone call. So that's where that name came from. I just hammed up the ignorance a small bit. And also I'm kind of, can be ignorant enough sometimes too, you know. Didn't have to act too much.
That's brilliant. And started back in 2007.
It's crazy, yeah.
Wow.
It's like...
And... Do you know what?
It's ages ago.
It's a long time ago.
we all definitely don't pass maths for leaving service.
Join the dots.
Yeah, I mean, but you had your bit in YouTube, then you got the TV series on RTE.
Yeah.
Then you made a film. What was it like making the film? You went to
Paul. Well, we started the TV series, because how did you get a TV series made by
RTE? I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah. Well, who did you have to bribe?
We were on RTE Storyline, which was like an online competition. So because we were the first year to win it, maybe RTE thought, we're going to give them a TV series. So then we got onto TV, and RTE wanted scripted stuff, but the whole show was improvised, so there was like a bit of a kind of like tension at the beginning, you know?
So they said, give us a script, and you said...
Give us a script. So they said, give us a script. So basically, we gave them a script of all the characters, character arcs, and all that stuff. That stuff we didn't even consider. Like, I wasn't thinking about character arcs for Buzz McDonald, you know? I was just thinking about, like, fighting, drinking, and smoking, you know? So then...
What more do you want?
What more do you want? Yeah, exactly.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. Well, they kind of probably thought we were, like, scripted actors.
Had they seen your YouTube videos?
No, but I mean, that's what they expected. Sorry, that's what they expected, I guess, you know.
Well.
But obviously then, because we had to look at scripts, we're like, what the hell is going on here? So then we had to hit points, like on the set and all this stuff, to hit, like to kind of walk out in front of a point, say it to the camera, and then do it 3 or 4 times in a row. But back in the YouTube days, we were just completely improvising every single time.
Wow, man, that must have killed your vibe a bit.
Schmaw, but yeah. But I will still work for RT if anyone's here for RT. I will.
I mean, the TV series, we loved it. Like,
yeah.
People are still quoting. Has everybody here seen it? Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
And then you got to make a film.
Yeah. It was good.
You must have thought, like, yeah, this is it by pure birthday job. Like.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, for sure. We've got to go to Poland, from Swinford to Poland, in a camper van. In a camper van and a hiatus. And we just kept saying to the producer, this is the best holiday ever. And he goes, you're meant to be learning scripts. And we were like, nah. We'll leave it.
Did you really travel there in that camper van?
Yeah, yeah. There was two camper vans and a hiatus. And we kind of rotate them. So if you got bored of the hiatus, you'd get into the camper van. And if you got bored of those people, you'd move again. So you kind of rotated on the bypass.
And you stopped in Amsterdam on the way.
Yeah.
Was that in the script?
I can't talk about that for legal reasons. No, actually, we stopped in Amsterdam, and there was a scene where we had to get prostitute. Is that what they're called?
A lady of the night, yes.
A lady of the night, yeah. So we couldn't find a lady of the night, so we had to find a man of the night. And that was called the Blue Light District.
All right.
So that was the girl, or the man that's in that scene, is a professional. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wasn't his first rodeo.
No. So that scene was a bit, it was kind of dodgy, you know?
Bit wild.
Bit wild, yeah, because.
You wouldn't see them around Swinford.
No. Maybe Paddy's Day, you know?
Yeah.
But they also had pimps everywhere. So, like, when we were going on the cameras, they all pulled down their shutters and then the pimps, like, start chasing you down the road. So we're like, no, please, it's for a TV show. But eventually we got the shots anyway. £250.
Is there like a head pimp that you write to and say, you know, this is for
the film board? Dear Mr. Head Pimp.
There's no head pimp that I know of, actually. No.
Okay.
See, head pimp. Maybe Snoop Dogg.
Dear Mr. Dog. And then, what happened?
Good question. Well, I mean, what do you mean what happened?
Like the Hardy Bucks took a break.
Well, not that we took a break, but RT were kind of like, oh, we're cutting kind of budget stuff like that. So it was kind of like a breakup where you're like, please don't leave me. You're like, well, I'll see you in a few weeks.
I promise I'll change.
I promise I'll change, yeah. So then it kind of went further and further apart, and then out of the blue, then they gave us another series. That was season 4, I think.
Yeah.
There was a huge gap in between. Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't know why they did.
And like, how did you deal with the attention? Like, as you said, you were working in a deli.
Yeah.
Like, and then everybody knows you. Like, were lads just shouting at you, like, "Hey, Buzz," on the street, like?
Or... Sometimes, yeah. A few times in Galway, like, at the beginning, they were like, "How are you, Buzz?" And I'm like, "Who's that?" You know? But I guess we dealt with it by drinking pints, to be honest. You know? Not that I'm condoning that, but that's kind of... Because we were in Castletown, we're all friends. But outside of that, we're quite nervous characters. So when we would go to another town doing a stand-up, for example, we might have 5 or 6 pints before a gig. You know, just to loosen the lips. We've all been there.
How did the gigs go?
Your first stand-up gig?
They were rough and ready, you know? Rough and ready. But no, they were good fun, though. Wow. What was the question?
No, yeah, so when you started doing videos, like, everybody, especially out the West, like, would have known you and loved you. But you were still all working full-time jobs now.
Yeah.
Because the way before there was money.
When I was on Storyline, we were getting 500 quid each a weekend. And we were like, we're getting paid to talk shit.
Yeah.
So,
well, we.
So we started doing it more and more. And then slowly we kind of all left our jobs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had to say goodbye to the deli.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We're just sad to see you go.
No. Not one bit. No.
And like, straight away then, from that, did you think like, right, I'm going to give this comedy a go? Was that always your goal, or were you kind of thinking, like, were you kind of in a transition period going, oh, what will I do now?
What was the plan?
I think the weird thing was at the beginning, because we were just doing improvised comedy in Mayo, and then we thought, we got to TV already. That was easy.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can sort of, like, take our time with it now and not even try that much. So we got a bit lazy, I think, a small bit. So as you were saying, like, did we kind of really push for it? No, I don't think we really properly push for it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're trying to do now, you know?
And you know the characters in Hardy books?
Yeah.
And that, like, is that all based on people that you know around Mayo? Like, did you ever get in trouble for taking lads off, and, like, a bit close to the bone?
Well, actually, the guy that I did take off, I met him in town during the year, a bit after, was on, like, the TV. Mm-hmm. And he was like, that character's very good. Is that about your man Johnny, is it? or whatever name. And I was like, oh, that's him, yeah. So he kind of went over his head. He didn't even know. Which is the way I wanted it to be, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're good friends. I think.
I'm afraid to do that now in case you start, like, making a character or whatever. I mean, you made the move then to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
So you upped the move. What brought that on?
I just, because Mayo, like, it's not really, you won't really get much work as a social media influencer in Mayo. Do you know? My dad doesn't want to be influenced by me, you know? He just wants me to drive stakes into the ground. So I had to go to Dublin to get away from Dad. And that's where all the work is, you know? So I just said, to hell with it, I'll get out of Mayo, get to Dublin for a while. But now I'm kind of getting to a point where I want to get back to the countryside.
You want to get back down the country?
Yeah, done a full loop.
Was it the plan, leaving Mayo, to be a social media influencer?
No, not at all. Not at all. The plan was just to... Because I went to college to do nutrition in a hotel in Galway. So it was like a gammy kind of course. I didn't finish it, but then I started getting paid money for being a social media influencer. So I thought, I can make a few quid off this. So then I said, I'll take it more seriously.
Yeah.
And start doing more and more work and try to prepare myself a bit better for that kind of career. So here I am.
And what do your parents make of social media influencing?
They don't. If I said that to them, they wouldn't even really know what I meant.
Yeah.
But acting, it took them a long time to kind of believe it was a real job. And even when the movie was there, they were kind of like, yeah, when that's done, just get a real job.
My mom, like, often says to me, wow, your show was great. You were like professionals.
Yeah.
I was like...
Indirect digs.
We are, like...
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're trying anyway, you know. And how have you adapted to life in Dublin? Have you found out, like, are you going to hit places, or, like, are you still that country?
Are you going out for Eggs Benedict now? And
well, no, but I actually...
your location, Raleigh.
I've got terrible eyesight. So when I'm watching TV, I'm kind of always like this. So my girlfriend made me buy a pair of glasses there the last day. And I bought them in a hipster place called Ace and Tate. And now that I wear them around town, if I see any lads, I just take them off. Go, lads, how are you getting on? That's the most hipster thing I've ever done in my life. But I have bad eyesight, so.
Get a pair of medical glasses.
Yeah. Because I wanted to get surgery on them, but she said your eyes have to wear glasses for 1 year.
Oh, what? Right.
It's a boring fact there for you.
Oh, there you go, all this podcast exclusive. You can't get the laser treatment without wearing the glasses.
So, like, when you first came to Dublin, was it a bit of a shock, or did you get caught up in the social media crack?
It was kind of, yeah, I didn't really know what to do, because with the Hardy books, we're all together all the time, and then I came to Dublin, the Boo's in Dublin, the Viper and a few others are kind of still in Mayo, Eddie Durkin's in Sweden, so we're kind of all broken up, so we kind of had to find our own path, you know? Mm. So it was a bit awkward at the beginning, but then after a while, I just try to embrace it, you know? And that's all you can do.
You were telling us earlier you started getting invited to some film premieres, that kind of stuff.
Did I say that? No, because at the beginning, like, his, you know, Eddie Durkin likes the social media life, so he was bringing us to Crystal and places like that. So it was just pure fake, you know, people hanging out. But I did see Ronnie Whelan in there one time drinking drinking pints of champagne. So he looked like good crack. But
did you go over to him?
No, what would I say to him? How are you, Ronnie? What are you on there, you know? You're good at scoring goals. And then just leave. I don't know. I left him.
I love that. Is that you missed from Mayo? The thistles and thorns.
Yeah, you know, like I miss the trees and the birds.
And damn, I miss socks.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of appreciate it more, you know. As my friend said, you have to go away to come back. Yeah. And I definitely appreciate the slowness of life there, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Yeah, that's why we're afraid to leave Tipperary.
Yeah, yeah.
Two nights up here, like.
Lovely land in Tipperary. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's big green fields.
Yeah, big ditches.
Big ditches, yeah, yeah.
What are they for? Two nights in Dublin, I'm going around with like a hipster moustache, spiking up, stuff like that. But you're on tour at the moment.
Yeah.
You're giving a stand up a right bash. You're selling out dates left, right, and centre. You're in Dublin in the Sugar Club.
That's right. What's the date again?
Yep. I forgot. You can check that. On Owen's fitness, Owen Colgan Fitness.
Owen Colgan Fitness. It's not ironic. Owen Colgan Fitness. Yeah, I started off the page thinking I'm going to get really fit, and then I was like, you know what? I just make a joke of it and not get fit. And here I am, you know.
And the tour's going well.
Things are going well. Yeah, yeah. I've got Waterford 3 days this month, and then it's on to Belfast, and then Sugar Club in different places. So,
have you ever had any really bad gigs? Like we went to New York once and nothing worked. Microphones nothing worked. Like, and
yeah,
two was up there, loads of lads screaming at us.
Whereabouts in New York was that?
Out in Yonkers.
Yeah.
Was it Woodlawn?
Yeah, Woodlawn.
Was it Keane's Bar?
No, it wasn't. But like
the Rambling House.
Yeah.
Go,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's a wild spot out there. Yeah.
Ooh, Wild West.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon people just wanted to see us in person, see where we real people. Like, they weren't interested in that.
Just
wanted
to touch
you. Yeah, they were like, you get a photo. It was crazy out there. But have you ever had any, like...
I had a gig in Bray last year, the Bray Comedy Festival. And before the gig, I was like, yeah, I'm a funny guy. Can I curse this? I'm a funny fecker. And doesn't have the same power, but I'm a funny fecker. And then I was like, yeah, kind of cruising around the place like this, going, I can make loads of jokes. So then I was kind of getting nervous before the gig. The crowd started coming in. Then my name got called up. And I was meant to do, I think, 25 minutes. And I was up there 6 minutes. And I just went like this. Sorry, guys. And then I drove the car out of Bray. I was just like so depressed. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was nearly crying on the bypass on the way home. Yeah, so that's like definitely a good wake up call, you know.
Wait, did you do like a bunch of?
I just kind of went through the material very fast. You know, spoke about five times the speed of normal. You know, so that didn't work out.
You were in like a big comedy troupe, and then you were doing solo gigs on your own.
Mm.
What was the first one, or where was it?
Well, the thing is, like, when it was the Hardy books on stage, you can kind of, you could say something, and then if you run out of stuff to say, the other person will say something. Yeah. But then when you're on there on your own, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm meant to be talking again. You know? And 10 seconds could feel like an hour.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah, so you kind of get scared and spooked.
When we were doing a bit of research on you, we got some great quotes.
Oh, yeah?
I just want to check, is this true, right? So when I Googled you last night... On famousbirthdays.com, right? You know, like, you can check famous people's birthdays.
Yeah. So actually, you know what? This is good. Go on.
Famousbirthdays.com. And the quote I got was, he speaks four different languages and is an avid tin whistle player. He cites Jean-Claude Van Damme as his inspiration for being an actor.
Yeah.
Any of that true?
Do you know what's funny about that? They actually got on to me 3 weeks ago and they said, can you send us pictures? What's the site called again?
Like famousbirthdays.com.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, I know. I did actually look myself up. I'm on it as well.
But you know what annoyed me about that? They had my birthday right, but they had my star sign wrong. Like, that's, you know.
They had one job.
They had one job to do. So they got on to me and they said, can you send us some pictures to upload onto the website? And also, can you help us with the bio? So I just sent them a load of stuff about Jean-Claude Van Damme. And the four languages, you know?
And, I mean, you've previously cited his comedic influences are Ian Paisley, the cast of Saved by the Bell, and the guy on the left from the man group, Jedward.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. And it's Screech as well from Saved by the Bell.
Screech.
He's my inspiration. He's in porn now, apparently. He is.
No way.
Yeah, I think he is. He was on like Celebrity Big Brother before. So.
Big old Willie on him, apparently, yeah.
Good man, Screech. Owen, we're going to do a little quick fire round. Mm-hmm. Questions with you, which I've obviously lost.
Oh, don't you? Have you got a book?
Ah, there we go.
But all the football's on it.
Don't be mentioning my copybook. Like, I sent my mother down to get me a jotter pad, like, you know, because we're off to making notes on the road. She came back with like an A4 book with soccer balls on it. Honestly, like, it wouldn't see a senior infant with it. It's really embarrassing.
Did it have wallpaper on it?
Yeah, my mother put a cover on it so it wouldn't get tarnished or it wouldn't get mixed up with anyone else in school. So the quick fire round on. Kieran MacDonald or Andy Mourne?
Ooh, Andy Mourne, because he smiled at me once.
Just on that, are Mayo ever going to win in All-Ireland?
Why not? You know what? I can't argue with that. I mean, you can't be shit if you keep getting to finals all the time, can you? Can we get that man thrown out?
Yeah.
No, but when you keep getting that close all the time, it's hard to know if you can have the mentality to keep going and then win, you know? So I don't know. I'd love if they did. I really would. Mayo would be on fire for the whole year.
Yeah,
everyone would be on the session. Everyone.
And do you go to two games?
Towards the end, I kind of do. Towards the final, I just slip on the jersey and go, come on, O'Shea.
Would you rather see Ireland win a World Cup or Mayo win an All-Ireland?
That's a great question. I'd say Mayo to win an All-Ireland.
Because
the Irish players, I one time I had a realization that if they win, it doesn't bother me. You know, it won't change my life, so Mayo would change my life.
Yeah. I think I'd nearly rather see Mayo win an All-Ireland, to be honest.
Thanks.
What is your hangover cure of choice?
Go for a walk, drink a pint with a Baraka. Pint of water now. A pint of water with a Baraka, go for a walk, and maybe look at pictures of dogs on the internet.
Puppies.
Puppies are nice, yeah. Cats as well.
Jabs or uppercuts?
Ooh. Depends on how close you are to the other man. I would say probably uppercuts.
Uppercuts.
Remind me of Mike Tyson, you know, so.
Apple Music or Spotify?
Neither.
Neither.
Because they're both part of the global agenda. No, Apple.
Apple, okay. Eddie Durkin or the Viper?
In what way?
Who's funnier?
Ooh. In real life or fake life?
We go with fake life. I wouldn't want to personally insult any of them.
I'd say the Viper.
The Viper is funny, yeah, in fairness.
Just by a touch.
Johnny, you'd have you.
What have I got? A few questions. Oh, snakes or nettles?
Snakes or nettles?
Yeah. Mm.
Nettles, definitely. You can make tea out of them. You can't make tea out of snakes, I don't think, can you?
Snake soup, boy.
Imagine.
Snakes. Go. Mick Pyro or Mick Flavin?
Mick Flavin's part, yeah.
Gay Byrne or Gabriel Byrne?
Gibbon.
Gabriel all day. Right, we're going to round off the podcast, lads, as is tradition, with Yurt and Dirt. But first, can you give a massive round of applause for our guests for tonight? Owen Collins. You can stay.
Give away the mug.
Yeah. We're going to give away the mug now to somebody in the audience. Johnny B.
Well, it was supposed to be, was it? Your criteria more the person who least looks like they should belong in Trinity?
Yeah, GA jersey and tracksuit bottoms. So there's a lot of people here in GA jerseys, though, and O'Neill stops. So we've only one mug.
Yeah.
We've only one mug, and we're going to have to give this man the front row. Can you stand up and show your attire to the whole audience? Look at this man.
It's pure Trinity.
You are not a student of Trinity.
Can we get a photo?
There you go. Smile, boy. You're on candid camera. There you go.
Oh, no, it's on firm shot.
All right, we're going to finish the podcast now as we normally do with our yurts and dirts of the week. Johnny B, have you got a yurt or dirt?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give my yurt. So I'm going to give a little Netflix recommendation to you. Because the second series of White Gold, it's called. It's starting on BBC, and it's brilliant. But the first series is on Netflix, so go and check that out. That's my recommendation.
What's
It's about...
Milk chocolate, no?
No. that's a different show on a different website. It's it's about... What are those PVC windows?
Aluminium
windows. So it's set in the 80s when like they became big, and it's about like these guys who sell windows. It's actually written by the and created by the guy from The Inbetweeners, who wrote The Inbetweeners, and Jay from The Inbetweeners, and the other guy with the spiky fringe. Mm. Simon. Yeah, Simon. They're two of them are in it, and your man from Gossip Girl. So the girls will probably watch it now. You know, the good looking lad, dark eyes, looks like he might be evil. He's in it as well, and it's well worth a watch. White Gold. And my dirt of the week happened to me this morning just before I was leaving to get in the car. So a specific Irish tooth whitening brand, I would say. I will not mention the name. Yeah. Although if they want to send me a load of stuff to make up for this incident. Self-filling lid. Right? So the lid fills itself after you use the mouthwash. So the idea is that you squirt the bottle and the lid fills up, and then you, you know, swirl it in your mouth and spit it out, whatever you do with mouthwash. So I was squeezing the bottle, and there wasn't much coming out, so I squeezed it a bit tighter. And I looked at the bottle and kept squeezing it, and then it went bang. Blew straight in my eyes. And it was blinding me. I was falling around the house. Like seriously, do you know what? Just if you get a tiny bit of soap in your eye, it can sting a bit. You try getting half a bottle of mouthwash in your eyes. So eventually, around half an hour later, after running my eyes under the tap, I got sorted. But my eyes are particularly minty now. So, you know, all's well that ends well.
Okay, I guess we should just say a big thanks to Huawei, who have partnered up with us on this excellent podcast that we hope you all enjoyed. And we just... Is that,
Yeah.
Okay.
That deserves a round of applause.
Well, I want to say thanks to Huawei, because what are we now, 56, 55, 57 episodes in, and they're the first company to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No. And if any of you are complaining about us getting sponsored, you got 57 episodes for free, so don't be giving out, all right? Lads, but to everybody here as well, thanks for coming so much. And thanks so much for listening to the podcast. It means the world to us, and we love doing it. And we'll be back with more live podcasts as well.
Just from the bottom of my heart, I want to say that the AI dual camera is comprised of a 13 megapixel camera and a 2 megapixel secondary camera. And sincerely, I just want to say that the new Huawei AI image stabilization with a wide aperture lens to produce bright, detailed, low noise nighttime photos. You don't want any noise in your photos. There's no need for a tripod, okay? It takes great photos, and remember that savage battery life as well. That's what I really want you to take home.
Right from the heart, Jenny.
From the heart.
Go and buy Huawei phones, right? There you go. Lads, thanks very much. Thanks to Huawei. We'll see you all very soon. I'm Johnny Smacks.
I'm Johnny B.
I'm Maura.
And that's Owen Colgan. We'll see you soon.
Good luck.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live studio audience in the Edmund Burke Theatre in Trinity College, Dublin. We'd again like to thank our brilliant sponsors, Huawei, for sponsoring this podcast today, who have just launched the new Huawei P-Smart 2019. The P-Smart 2019 has a 3400 milliamp battery, which provides all-day battery life for users, so you can use it as much as possible without worrying about it dying during the day. It has a 6.21-inch dewdrop display, as well as an unobtrusive and eye-catching pearl-shaped notch that holds the front camera. The 13-megapixel camera can produce unbelievable studio-quality photographs. It also has new AI scene recognition technology that can identify 22 categories and 500 scenarios in real time to make sure you get the perfect selfie. If that wasn't enough, the Huawei AI image stabilization works with the wide aperture lens to produce bright, detailed, low noise nighttime photos without the need for a tripod.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.